Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 31, and we have just finished reading at the end of last session, verses 21 through 24.
And this is where the law that the Lord had directed Moses to institute is holding people accountable as far as cleansing, okay? But there's something that I believe is pointing to the new covenant. He said everything that can withstand fire is to be purified by fire. And I think about in the New Testament how we are salted with fire. Have you ever read it?
Yeah.
Peter says, think it not strange, the fiery trials that come against you, as though something strange had happened. The fire is purifying. You look at Malachi chapter 3, he said, and the Lord will suddenly appear, but he'll be like a refiner's fire and a fuller or launderer's soap, purging the sons of Levi, the spiritual leaders, okay? And so what I see in this is everything has to be purified. The gold, the silver, the brass, iron, tin, lead, all that went through the fire. The wood things were washed. Pottery was broken. The things that's fragile, it was broken, you understand? And then they had to make sure that the outward was cleansed. They had to wash their clothes. And I think about Ephesians 5:26, how he talks about Jesus, how he's dealing with the church, presenting to himself a glorious church. In verse 26, he talks about the washing of the water with the word of God. And so when you come into God's camp, it'll be clean. You with me? And to be cleansed, sometimes you go through the fire test. I believe we all go through the fire test. But here's the beauty of that. These storms of life, if you will, it seasons you. Really, if you stop and think about it, the depth that you know of God probably came through some adverse circumstances. When you think about how did Abraham know that the Lord sees, the Lord provides? He was put in a very difficult place. How do you know that Jesus is the healer if you're in a difficult place, right? But a person who's been sick and gets healed, they know by experience that Jesus is the healer, not head knowledge. They know it from the depth of their heart. And you think of all these names, Jehovah Rapha, or Jehovah the Shepherd, you know, all the various things, the Lord my righteousness, the Lord my sanctifier. How do we know that? It's through experience. We go through some places in our life. The places the fire is not meant to burn you up. It's meant to purify. It's meant to cleanse you. The water's not meant to drown you. It's meant to cleanse you. You understand? So I see some things here, even under the old covenant, God said you're going to have to be clean. But under the new covenant, it's done in a different way. It's done from the inside out instead of just something external. We have to get clean inside in order to be acceptable to God. It's not your works, your performance, but what's in here at gut level.
Verse 25, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the sum of the prey that was taken, both of man and of beast, thou and Eleazar the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the prey into two parts, between them that took the war upon them, who went out to battle, and between all the congregation.
Now this just shows the fairness of God. Okay. So he says, all right, take you military leaders. Then you count the number of people, you count the number of animals, and he puts the Eleazar, the priest, and the leaders of the congregation, you understand, to count and divide the spoil. Note this in two parts. One part is going to be given to the military went out to battle. The other part is going to be to the congregation. Okay?
Verse 28. And levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war which went out to battle, one soul of 500, both of the persons, and of the bees, and of the asses, and of the sheep. Take it of their half, and give it unto Eleazar the priest, for a heave offering of the Lord. And of the children of Israel's half thou shalt take one portion of 50, of the persons, of the bees, of the asses, and of the flocks, of all manner of beasts, and give them unto the Levites, which keep the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord.
So you could call this a tax or whatever. But the Lord says, all right, I want you to impose this tribute on the soldiers. Out of every 500, whether it's animal, people, whatever, then one out of every 500, you set that aside as a present for the Lord. A present for the Lord. Right? And out of the congregation's part, one out of every 50 of the people, cattle, donkey, sheep, and all, was to be given to the Levites who served in the tabernacle of the Lord. So one, Eleazar, we're talking about priesthood. The other was talking about those who assisted the priesthood. You with me? God was taking care of everybody. But before anything is distributed, God gets his part.
And Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. And the booty being the rest of the prey, which the men of war had caught, was 600,000 and 70,000 and 5,000 sheep.
They took a lot of spoil, didn't they?
Yeah.
When you think about it, 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, 32,000 virgin women.
What?
Now they're to count this and divide this, okay?
Verse 36. And the half which was the portion of them that went out to war was in number 300,000 and 730,000 and 500 sheep. And the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 600 and 15. And the beeves were 30 and 6,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 60 and 12. And the asses were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. And the persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 32 persons.
So, in terms that probably is more easily understood, the portion set aside for the soldiers was 337,500 sheep. So the Lord's portion was 675. 36,000 cattle, the Lord's portion was 72. 30,500 donkeys, the Lord's portion was 61. 16,000 virgins, the Lord's portion was 32.
And Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering, unto Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses.
You see, the Lord wasn't being unjust. He wasn't trying to rip the people off. He wasn't charging them 50% tax or anything, you understand. God was very just, just very fair. He was taking care of his people, of his leaders.
And of the children of Israel's half, which Moses divided from the men that warred, Now the half that pertained unto the congregation was 300,000, and 30,000, and 7,000, and 500 sheep, and 36,000 beasts, and 30,000 asses, and 500, and 16,000 persons.
So you're looking at 337,500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, 16,000 virgins, and then you're doing a tribute every 50 of both virgins and animals were given to the Levites who served in the tabernacle of the Lord. So the Levites' portion was 6,750 sheep, 720 head of cattle, 610 donkeys, and 320 virgins. So you see that the Levites got more because there's more of them. So it's equally divided, okay?
Verse 48, and the officers which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord, what every man hath gotten of jewels of gold, chains and bracelets, rings, earrings, and tablets to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord.
This is something when you look at it. So these military leaders that come to Moses, so, you know, we've counted the soldiers and those under our command. Not one is missing in this huge battle, okay? It says, so we brought an offering for the Lord from the spoil the soldiers have taken. In other words, people they're killing, they're taking personal items off of them, which is still done today in war. And so here's, they said, here's the gold, chains, the bracelets, rings, earrings, and jewels. We're giving this to you to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. In other words, this is an offering to the Lord that we're giving basically an appreciation for what the Lord's done for us in protecting us in this battle that we've been involved in.
And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of them, even all wrought jewels, and all the gold of the offering that they offered up to the Lord of the captains of thousands and of the captains of hundreds was 16,750 shekels. For the men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of the captains of thousands and of hundreds and brought it to the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord.
This is a pretty good sum of money or wealth that they gave. It wasn't just something minor. They gave a liberal portion to the Lord and is put up as a memorial for them.
Now, as we move into chapter 32, this chapter contains instructions to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of tribe of Manasseh concerning their inheritance and their responsibilities. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eliolai and Sheban and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, they said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan.
So you think about this, you remember Sihon and Og and how they had defeated them. They had taken all these cities and taken that territory from them, which was very inviting to them because it was good pasture land. And so they come to Moses and they said, instead of us going across Jordan, let us take our inheritance on the east side in this particular territory here.
Verse 6, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed.
So Moses' initial response here is, don't you realize what's happened before? This land that we've taken, all the armies have taken that. And so you want to stay here and send the other armies over to take the land in Canaan? You've heard of all for one, one for all? In other words, all of them helped you. And so he is not pleased with this at the beginning. And he reminds them of what has occurred when the 12 spies went in and brought back the reports, how 10 of them brought back the report that discouraged the people. And so what he's saying is, are you going to discourage the rest of these armies? You know, with 2.5 tribes going to drop out? So this is what this is all about.
Verse 14. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, and an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people.
So Moses' concern is that they would discourage the second generation from going in to the promised land, taking the land that the Lord had given them. That's why he's confronting them the way he is.
And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance, for we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward.
So they hear Moses' response, and then they respond to Moses. I said, no, our motive's right. We're not expecting them to go take the land by themselves. We will go over armed. In other words, the armies of Reuben and Gad, and we find the half tribe of Manasseh also. Our armies will go over and we will fight with them and assist them in taking their territory. We'll just leave our wives, our children, our flocks, and all. We'll leave them on this side, on the east side of Jordan. That'll be our inheritance. But we promise you, we will go over the Jordan River armed and ready until the Israelites possess their land.
So this is talking about...
They're on the east side.
The east side.
So Israel's inheritance by God's gift was east of Jordan and west of Jordan, on both sides of the Jordan River.
That'll shed some light on some of the things that are happening today, right?
People are bashing Israel, but Israel, they're saying Israel is driving people out of their territory. No, Israel's driving people out of their own territory. You understand? Israel's territory. Those people came in to Israel's land, and under the pressure of the, all the politics with all the other nations, they forced Israel to give up land to put ungodly people in there. But God's fighting for them today. Mm-hmm.
So according to this, the East Bank belongs to Israel. To Israel.
East Bank and West Bank.
Verse 25, and the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war before the Lord, to the battle, as my Lord said.
So after hearing what these Reubenites, Gadites have said to Moses, he said, all right, if you'll do what you say, you'll send your armies over the Jordan River to help these tribes gain their inheritance, and you fight with them until they get their possessions. If you'll keep your promise, then we'll honor your request and give you this territory here on the east side of Jordan. But if you do not, and you probably heard this phrase in your life, be sure your sin will find you out. If you do not, you sin against the Lord, and your sin will find you out. And so Moses told him, all right, you guys take this territory, you build houses for your children, and fenced enclosures and all for your livestock. You do that, and then you do what you promised.
Yeah.
Now, all this is before Moses dies and before Joshua takes them over Jordan, you understand. And so they have time to build these houses and prepare to keep, you know, put up their livestock and all.
Verse 28. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan.
So Moses is talking to the spiritual leader, Eleazar the high priest, Joshua the son of Nun, who will be Moses' successor, and the chief of the tribes of Israel. And he says, if these descendants of Gad and Reuben keep their word, and they cross over Jordan armed, as they said, and they go with you in the battle and subdue the enemy before you, then you give them this land of Gilead for possession. But if they do not cross over armed for war, then they're to be given a possession in the land of Canaan, or on the west side of Jordan.
Verse 31. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side of Jordan may be ours.
And so their response, the Gadites and Reubenites, their response to Moses is, we will do exactly like you've commanded. We'll cross over Jordan to fight until that land subdued before the rest of the Israelites, but then we'll keep our inheritance on this side of Jordan.
And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land, with the cities thereof and the coast, even the cities of the country round about.
So, at the word Moses is given, and this is where you get the half-tribe of Manasseh, to Gad, to Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Remember, Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Then they'll be able to possess this territory, Og, king of Bashan, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and all their land, all their cities, everything under their jurisdiction will be given to these 2.5 tribes.
Verse 34. And the children of Gad built Dibon, and Ataroth, and Aroer, and Ataroth, Sophon, and Jazer, and Jogbehath, and Bethnamira, and Bethahanra, fenced cities and folds for the sheep.
So, at this agreement, they go in, they build these cities, and they build these enclosed fences and all for their livestock. In other words, they're preparing their land where they will not be living until other things are taken care of, others possess the land, but their families will be there. So they're making provision for the family before they go to war.
Verse 37. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon and Elealeh and Kirjath-Theam, and Nebo and Baal-Meon, their names being changed, and Shibma and other names unto the cities which they built.
So this is telling you how they're being active, you understand? I mean, they're working on that east side and building these cities and naming each of the cities that they rebuilt.
And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it and dispossessed the Amorite which was on it.
So the descendants of Machir, who was the son of Manasseh, they went and captured Gilead and drove the Amorites out of that occupied territory, and they possessed that land.
And Moses gave Gilead unto Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt thereon.
So this is where he's talking about the half-tribe Manasseh. This is what this is referring to here. And so Moses gives Gilead to Machir as his inheritance, and his descendants, they occupied the land which they had taken.
And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof, and called them Havath-Jair.
Okay. So, the son of Manasseh, another son here, Jair, captures the small towns of that Gilead area, and he renamed them. So they're taking the territory, they're becoming established in that particular territory before they go over Jordan.
And Noba went and took Kenath and the villages thereof and called it Noba after his own name.
So, they're all getting established, getting set up on the east side. And that's just a forerunner of what's going to take place on the west side of Jordan. In other words, we're going to get everything here. We're going to get these cities captured. We can build them. and then we're going to go over here, we're going to defeat those armies, and you're going to do the same thing. We'll drive them out and take the land. That's what they were told to do, remember? Seven nations they were to utterly annihilate, drive them out, take their territory. Why? Because of all their ungodly practices. Eradicate it. Get it out of the land. There's something to learn from all that. You understand? That's why we're in such a shape we're in today, is because we did not keep the enemy out of our land. Mm. Thank God there's some good things taking place now. Amen?
Amen.
You want to just stop there and we'll pick back up
Yes, I do. All right, we'll really pick.
We'll pick back up with chapter 33. It's been intense for us, I guess. Okay.
Oh, I thank goodness. I thank the Lord.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. And those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week. We'll see you Thursday.